the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 627. 627. Poor sinner, dejected with fear, unbosom thy mind to the Lamb. No wrath on his brow he does wear, nor will he poor mourners condemn. His arm of omnipotent grace is able and willing to save. A sweet and a permanent peace he'll freely and faithfully give. Hymn 627.
Thank you. read in Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 7, from verse 14 into chapter 8. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 7, from verse 14, and reading into chapter 8. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. May God bless his word. May he help us now to pray. O thou almighty and most high and holy God, we come before thee now in this evening hour of worship, and asking thee that thou wilt have mercy upon us, and remember us as we gather here in thy name. And as we gather, Lord, as a company of needy souls, we are sinners, O Lord, and thou seest us all together, and thou knowest everything about us. And this solemn truth, that thy pure eyes do see us completely, that thou knowest us altogether, that there is not a thought within us which is not hidden from thee. And therefore, Lord, we come exposed before thy majesty, and we must come and can only come confessing, O Lord, our sinnership, and pleading that wonderful way that thou hast made, even the way of mercy, pleading the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, we would come, Lord, to that mercy seat. We would see the blood that does for sin atone. We would see the place of reconciliation. Oh, we'd see it there in those bleeding wounds of Emmanuel, God with us. And we would pray that our sins, which are many, may be all forgiven, that burden may be rolled from off us, and that it may be, Lord, as thy word declares, on that we may see this, that they have been laid upon him. For he hath taken the iniquity, he hath borne the iniquity of us all. And we do pray that his grace, his righteousness, may be imputed to us, and that we poor sinners then might live. Oh, and that we might live, Lord, now in this time state, and that we might live by faith upon the Son of God, and that we may know that sweet spring within our heart, O Lord, of everlasting life, and that thy sweet spirit may be so given us, that we may, Lord, bring forth those fruits of righteousness and those wonderful fruits wherewith, Lord, we shall find peace. Come, Lord, and do us good then, and bless us under the sound of thy word. O Lord, thy word is truth. We live in a world of lies, and ourselves possess a heart which is deceitful. We do then need, Lord, thy word to be spoken, may it be spoken faithfully. And we do pray, O Lord, that there might be that purifying of our hearts by faith. Do help us and instruct us from thy word. Do lift up the downcast. Grant those consolations, Lord. Grant those lifts. Grant that real comfort to the poor, to the needy, to those who may be oppressed by the weight of sin and the power of Satan. Oh, we do pray thy poor and needy ones may find help. May there be help from the sanctuary. May realise the gospel is for the poor. That Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom we are chief. And to find, Lord, that there is room before the throne of grace, that there is yet room in thy kingdom for such as we. And so, Lord, we pray that thy needy ones may be helped, and may there be none sent empty away. Grant there may be a portion, and there may be something that might be taken with us as we leave thy house. Lord, we ask for the psalmist, leave not my soul destitute. So God, be merciful to us. Remember each friend, and perhaps the different circumstances that are before us this evening. O Lord, everything is known to thee. Those things in the family scene, in one's health and strength, those things in the daily labours and many other things, Lord, may there be help for each. And we do pray here then, this evening, there may be some good thing done. And Lord, may our gathering be to thy glory. Oh, we do ask that thy name, Lord, may be magnified and glorified. We pray that thou remember, Lord, thy people everywhere. We would remember thy suffering people in the earth. We pray that thou wilt remember those at this time passing through deep tribulations in Ukraine. And we pray that thou send relief to them there. Remember, O Lord, thy people in all parts of the earth, and thy people in our own country. Oh, thy word declares thy people are that poor and needy one. And, O Lord, we do pray, remember them. And, O Lord, we ask that thou wilt remember us each in the path that thou hast appointed us. Lord, help us. We do pray that we may, with the Apostle Paul, find that thy grace is sufficient. So hear us in heaven. We would return thanks for all thy many mercies towards us. Indeed, we have passed another day of time. We have to acknowledge that it is through thy goodness we live and move and have our being. We thank thee for all that we possess in this world. But we would thank thee above all, O Lord, for the throne of grace and for the hope of the gospel. Oh, we thank thee that there is forgiveness with thee, thou mayest be feared. Oh, we thank thee that thou art a God of grace. Oh, Lord, it is then to this end that we particularly come together in thy house. And we do pray here, Lord, in the means of grace, that we may receive grace. And we do pray that though we be so unworthy of the least of all thy mercies, thou wilt yet visit us with thy salvation. Do us good. So we ask thy blessing upon us. Bless the giving out of the hymns, Lord, the reading that we've read, and that which we shall consider. Lord, we do ask for the gift of thy Holy Spirit, Lord, that our hearts may be moved, that thy word may be in power, and in that much assurance to our hearts. Lord, that it may be that which finds us out. Though, Lord, it may be perhaps in one side a wound, yet may there be that healing. Oh, we pray, Lord, for the remedy. We ask that we may receive that virtue through the everlasting gospel. So do hear prayer and send us not empty away. Do, Lord, make up where we fail in our asking. And do hear those prayers offered even before this service. And those, Lord, solemn petitions now within the pew. We do pray that thou hear those groanings. As the psalmist said, all his desire was before thee, his groaning was not hid from thee. So do hear prayer. Come and help us, and do grant, we pray, a little faith that we may this evening be found looking unto Jesus, that we may be found at thy feet, Lord Jesus, looking unto thee and hearing thy word. We ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.
954. Save me, O God, my spirit cries, and on thy faithful word relies. Save me from sin, my desperate foe, that fills my soul with every woe. Hymn 954.
Thank you.
So Lord, may you be pleased to help us this evening. The word on our mind is found in Romans chapter 8 and to verses 12 and 13. Romans 8, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. The Apostle Paul spoke, as we read in that latter part of the seventh chapter, of the warfare in which he, as a renewed soul, a truly born-again soul, experienced. And every child of God will have to experience this warfare of what it is for the flesh to war against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And of course, the flesh describes that carnal man which is in us, body, mind and soul, the whole natural man, whereas the Spirit speaks of that new life which we receive from God in the new birth. But you see, to our instruction, those groanings, that complaint the Apostle spoke of towards the close of that seventh chapter, this is the language of a child of God. Because you see, he is one who was conscious of his state and who had a principle implanted from above, a holy principle, which loathed sin, which hated the evil that he saw within himself. And though the Apostle knew on earth, yes, he would not be entirely free from his wretched self, yet he did know the remedy. Oh, he did know the way of escape. So as he cries out, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And there you see, he speaks the remedy. He speaks the only way of escape. Oh, if there be any here who feel to be such prisoners of themselves, or such captives to their own will, their inclination, the hardness of their heart, Satan's temptations, here is the way of escape. You see, here is the remedy. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, that one who has taken sin upon himself, borne them away upon the cross, and who bids sinners look to him, or who says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I'm God, and there is none else." Yes, and Jesus is a mighty Saviour. Helpless souls have here a friend. He has borne our misbehaviour, and his mercy knows no end. O you helpless, come and on his grace depend. And truly, those who do depend on him, dear friends, and trust in him for their soul salvation, you know what the Apostle begins his eighth chapter with? He says this: "There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." You see, because though we be sinners, yet Jesus, through his atonement, through his wonderful work of righteousness in his life and death, you see, has swallowed up death in victory and overcome the devil and overcome sin. And therefore, it can be pronounced upon all who trust in him, there is no condemnation. Now, having set before us this, he describes the characters who are under no condemnation. He says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And really he describes this, that those in Christ are those who have received new life, and those, therefore, who in their right mind would walk after that grace that God gives, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And the Apostle speaks of the solemnity, the awfulness of what it is to live after the flesh. So therefore, as we come to our text, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. We are reminded of what a solemn thing it is, firstly, to live and die in the flesh, never having received a grain of grace from God. You see, if we live after the flesh, you shall die. And the solemn thing is how many there are upon the face of the earth who are merely in the flesh. You see, that is all they know. They only know the life after the flesh. And that means, of course, being led by the will of the flesh, to follow the lusts and inclinations of the flesh. Indeed, this is the life that is lived, and the solemn end is this, that ye shall die. And why is this? Well, because our flesh is at enmity to God. Yes, our flesh is sinful. And the truth of the scripture is this, that the wages of sin is death. You see, that is how it is, as we are sons and daughters of Adam. You see, sons and daughters are according to the flesh. As in Adam, we all die. We all come under the same condemnation. You see, condemned through the Adam fall, inheritors of the same condemnation as our head in Adam, and condemned indeed by our own transgressions. Oh, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. You see, we are told in Ecclesiastes, though a sinner sin 1,000 times and his days be prolonged. You see, though he seem, as it were, to prosper here and to have his days prolonged here, yet we are reminded, yet he says, I know it shall be well with those that fear God, with those that fear before him. You see, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. If indeed it is merely that we are found only in the flesh, no good thing ever wrought within us by God, then this must be the solemn end, ye shall die. Of course, there's so many characters in the scriptures who lived and died in the flesh. And some indeed only with a fleshly religion. It never went further than a mere appearance, a mere spectacle. Such was the profession of the Apostle Paul himself before the Lord so breathed into him the new birth. Or it's merely all after the flesh. You see, no consciousness of God, no realization spiritually of the law of God, and the reality of eternity, and never had he seen the blessedness of Jesus. The wonderful thing is the apostle knew the great change. And if there's anyone in the New Testament that can speak of that change, it's the Apostle Paul. Oh, he speaks much of that great change, and yes, having had to renounce his own righteousness, which was after the flesh. So in reality, everything that is of the flesh, and however respectable it may appear, cannot please God, and we are reminded of that in this chapter. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Well then, he says, if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. Now, this word does not merely refer to corporal death. In fact, the main purpose of the apostle in speaking these things here is to speak to the Lord's beloved people. The Lord's beloved people who have known the new birth. And to instruct them as to what spiritual life is. And he's telling them, if you sow to the flesh, if you live after the flesh, you will reap misery. Yes, and dear friends, the scriptures are very clear on this. You see, in the lives of so many of the godly, as they followed after the flesh, it brought them into sorrow. It brought them into hardness. And we can think of Abraham, when he denied his wife twice, all the trouble that caused him and his wife. Jacob in his lying to Isaac, how it landed him with 20 years in a house where he was himself deceived. Of course, David, in his transgression, in the case of Bathsheba, and the sorrows that ensued. Many things we can speak of, which clearly show us, if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. And you see, this word, it can be applied in so many ways. Because by nature we would follow ourselves. We would follow and live after our senses and our carnal appetites. But that is not the life. That is not the life that God has appointed for his beloved people. And we want to come to this then. Oh, the life that God has appointed for his people. Dear friends, it's the life of faith. And it's a life in the Spirit. And I come back to the Apostle Paul because he said, I am crucified with Christ. And by this he was speaking, you see, of the way in which, by grace, he, having lived after the flesh, you see, that life was put to death. You see, that is my flesh, am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, there is a blessed life, isn't there? We don't wish to dwell, friends, upon this solemn aspect, but it must be said, you see, concerning this, if we live after the flesh, we shall die. God's people receive new life in the new birth. They receive the Spirit of God. And you see, this Spirit is that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Yes, it is that same Spirit with that same resurrection power. And he alone can raise a sinner out of his natural state. Dear friends, the blessed Spirit of God, oh, how he infuses that life into a sinner. And you see, then, there is a change. It may be more gradual in some, it may be more sudden in others. But it can be said of every one of them, by and by, behold, he prayeth. And we'll be amongst those mourners in Zion. Blessed are they that mourn. And amongst those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. See, that is the work of the good Spirit. Oh, his good Spirit. And it may be small at first. It may be as only as a grain of mustard seed. Can hardly be seen. And yet, it is known by its blessed fruits. You see, that desire after righteousness, that desire after holiness, that hatred, that loathing of ourselves. And that seeking after him, after God. That looking to him. Well, it is then this working of the Holy Spirit, which is that which is unto life. For he says, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The blessed Spirit is he which takes of the things of Jesus. Oh, the blessed Spirit is he which brings and teaches us of the righteousness of Jesus, which teaches us concerning the death of Jesus, and who makes this savingly known. Yes, who applies salvation to a sinner's heart. And you see, that same Spirit works within us. That Spirit of grace and supplications in which we may come as confessing souls to the feet of Jesus. I must just mention David, you see, as David, certainly, I say, knew the misery of his flesh. But you know what he prayed in his penitential psalm? He prayed this, that the Lord would renew a right spirit within him. Yes, because he knew he needed the Holy Ghost. He needed the power from on high to restore him. And he knew the only good thing within him could come from above. Oh, renew a right spirit within me, he said. And he pleaded with God that he would not take his Holy Spirit from him. Friends, we need grace. And I say this, Holy Spirit of God not only testifies of the righteousness of Jesus, but he brings the grace of Jesus into a sinner's heart. Well then, you see, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Two principles then that dwell within the people of God, the flesh and the spirit. So what is it then to live after the spirit? It is to mind the spirit. Yes, it's to hear and to seek to be led by the Spirit. And in this, you see, it is to be seeking those things that are pleasing to God, to the welfare and the profit of our immortal souls, and not only ours, but the souls of others also. It is to be seeking first the kingdom of heaven and Christ's righteousness, and all these other things to be added unto us. You see, there is only one thing needful, that's to be having a part in the covenant of grace, a place in his kingdom. It's to have treasure in heaven where no thief approacheth, and where no moth and rust doth corrupt. Friends, this is what it is to be truly led by the Spirit, seeking those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, even at the right hand of God. You see, the Saviour who has entered to heaven. Oh, the Saviour who has gone from this world. The forerunner who has for us entered into glory above. Friends, it is to seek a portion in him, and treasure in him, and a place in the heavens at his right hand. You see, because, you see, as led by the flesh, would never seek this. Oh, how man in general, you see, he wants his treasure now. Yes, he seeks to build his pleasure and happiness here. You see, the solemn truth is this: if we follow after this, we shall die. That which we seek will fail. And yes, we will fail in it. Yes, as the Lord reminded us of the rich man and Lazarus. Oh, the rich man has good things in this life. But you know, when the end came, he lifted up his eyes in hell, big in torment. He lived after the flesh. He only sought the things that please the flesh now. But his end was solemn. On the other hand, Lazarus, the beggar who sat at his gate, oh, he had his evil things in his life. You see, he's a picture of the people of God. You see, as they're poor in spirit and they seek treasure in heaven. Oh, the poor of this world, rich in faith. And he entered into Abraham's bosom. He was comforted eternally when he died. And the Lord Jesus also spoke concerning that one who said he'd pull down his barns and build greater. You see, he hadn't considered his latter end. Oh, he flattered himself. Take thine ease, soul, he said. Eat, drink, and be merry. Got many things, many goods laid up for many years. Oh, but God said, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then who shall those things be? You see, these things the Saviour spoke, dear friends, because his end was this: seek the kingdom of heaven. Oh, seek your immortal, the welfare of your immortal soul. That is what it is to seek, to sow to the Spirit, to live according to the Spirit. Because you see, the Spirit speaks to us of the vital things. We may harden our hearts, dear friends, you see, the Lord is speaking through his Spirit things for our eternal profit, things that concern life. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Life and peace. This is not what we need. Indeed, this is the end of all who seek Christ, who hungereth after righteousness, they will be filled, there will be that life and peace. But I say, you see, these things are spiritual. These things are to be known now, in this time state. As he speaks of this in the present tense, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You know, we'll never be free from the flesh, the son of the grave. We groan, as the Apostle speaks of in this chapter, we groan desiring and being in pain to be delivered, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We long for that that day when we'll be entirely free from ourselves and our sins and our flesh. But you see, whilst we're in this world, there must be a putting off. There must be a putting off of the old man. There must be a putting off of the deeds of the flesh. There must be that mortification, as the word here speaks. You know, it speaks of a putting to death, not allowing it to live. Now, this is not in our power. It is simply this, dear friends, our flesh is not under our control. Who can keep alive his own soul? Who can keep himself in the hour of temptation? If we say we can, then we're deceived. Dear friends, and our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. As soon as we begin to say we can keep ourselves, we're gone. You see, temptation, inclination and opportunity, all uniting. Friends, if that's so, there's no stopping us but for the grace of God. There's nothing we can do against the working, the power of the wretched man, but for the grace of God. And in our text, you see, the Apostle lays this truth before us. For he speaks this vital thing through the Spirit. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. This really then is by the power of God. Oh, as we look to Jesus, as we live upon his grace, as we plead the power of his precious blood to cleanse us from all sin, and as we plead the power of his resurrection to raise us out of our death, then we shall live. It is the only way. And so this regards this present life. And you see that the Apostle speaks of these things because he's showing us the path of life and peace. And yes, he's showing us the way of happiness. You see, that one who lives in sin is not really living. He's dead while he lives, because he's not happy. He's not at peace in his soul, and he's not at peace with God in the way he's living. Oh, but here, dear friends, ye shall live. You see, here, in this path, as we're enabled by God to live by faith upon the Son of God, his death and resurrection, so ye shall live. Because you see, the Saviour has power. He says, I have all power in heaven and upon earth. Power to forgive your sins, power to overcome. You see, how is it that those saints got to glory in the revelation? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You see, the power of the blood of Jesus, they overcame through this and through the word of the gospel. And it was their gospel, it was their testimony. Oh, it wasn't that, it was just merely a gospel in word only. You see, it was the word of their testimony. That it was something they'd handled, tasted and felt of the good word of life. It was life to their soul. They'd lived upon Christ. They'd eaten and drunken the Lord Jesus. And so their soul lived. You see, dear friends, the Lord's dear people, oh, we need to be upheld by the precious gospel. Sin and Satan are ever seeking to pull the Lord's people down, to cast them down, to bring them into sorrow. But there is a way of life, oh, a blessed way of life, which the Holy Ghost testifies in the Word. Yes, the Holy Ghost testifies to poor sinners. It is that there is a mighty Saviour. There is a name under heaven whereby we must be saved, even the name of Jesus. And I say it is the Holy Ghost that testifies these things. If we heard the word of the gospel through the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven? Dear friends, by belief of the truth, we are delivered. Or by belief of the truth, to believe the truth concerning Christ. You see, those who had their various maladies on earth, they came with one precious gift, faith. And the Apostle Paul said, that is the power that worketh in us. Because by faith they laid hold on the power of salvation. That woman who came behind the press and in the press behind Jesus and touched his garment, she stretched her hand forth by precious faith. And Bartimaeus, who sat by the wayside begging, called out. Why, he heard of Jesus first by the hearing of faith, then he called out by faith and knew the blessing, knew what it was to rise up and come. So I say it is by the Spirit, through the Spirit, that we hear of him, that we receive him, that we believe on him, that we come mourning to him, to his feet, to receive life. Christ said, didn't he? He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. You see, through the Spirit, this spake Jesus of the Spirit. So if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. This is then the life of grace. And I want to speak of this because the new man lives upon Christ. You see, the flesh, the old man, he lives upon carnal things, sinful things, earthly things, but the new man lives upon Christ. And so it feeds upon Christ. And it feeds upon the truth as it is in him. The instruction in the epistles then is to follow after those things which feed the spirit. This is what the apostle meant when he was speaking in Galatians, sow to the Spirit. You see, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth. Seek Christ, and ye shall live. And seek his kingdom, and ye shall live. And seek the good of the brethren, and ye shall live. You see, those who do live by faith upon Christ live a happy life. It is a blessed life. And in this way, the Lord will uphold us. Yes, and he'll give grace upon grace. But you see, he'll never uphold us in the way of walking in the flesh. He'll recover us, blessed be his name, but he'll never hold us up in that way. You see, friends, the Lord can only smile in one way, the way of faith. Yes, without faith, it is impossible to please him. But you see, as we read in John 15, if we are following him and walking after the Spirit in his commands, then he says, ye shall abide in my love. And he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. By remaining, abiding in his love, of course, he's not speaking of his eternal love. It's not possible to fall out of this. But the sweet experience of it. Yes, you see, those who abide in the doctrine of Christ and live upon him, abide in his love. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So this is the life of faith, and it's the way of happiness and the way of peace. Those are only truly happy who are looking to Jesus. Away from themselves, away from this world. And what a life it is. It's real life. And it's real life because, you see, life is being in union with God. Those who are damned to dwell in hell, a solemn thing it is, you see, they're away from God. You see, ultimately, death is to be separated from God. But you who live, you live in that blessed sentence of union with Christ. You shall live. And what peace and what happiness this is. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now then, this life is the only real life, and it is eternal life. You see, it is life now in the soul, and it is life forever. This life springs up unto everlasting life. Ye shall live. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. To be led by the Spirit then, to walk after the Spirit, it should be the concern and exercise of all the people of God. And we have to come to this, dear friends, that the old man is useless to us. Indeed, and we must remember this truth, that Jesus died to put away the old man. Indeed, the old man was crucified with him. He died to put it away that it might be no more. And indeed, dear friends, it will be manifest that he has put that away when, after we have passed from this world, the old man will cease completely. You see, if Jesus died to put away the old man, then it should be our concern now that he be mortified, and that we should live that life in the Spirit. Oh, to mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. But this I say is by the power of God, and I would just mention a few things. Firstly, in John's Gospel, we are reminded, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of God, but of man. You see, dear friends, it's nothing of man in this text when he says, if ye do mortify the deeds of the body. There's nothing about this, as we might say, as perhaps the Roman Catholics show this evidently forth by way of the affliction of their bodies, doing penance and so forth, thinking that by that they shall spiritually live. It doesn't mean that. It means, you see, by the power of God, as grace, the power of grace reigns over sin, so you shall live. That where sinners abounded, grace shall much more abound. And so you see, it's not as after the will of man. It's nothing we can do, as it were, after the will of the flesh. But this is the power of God. If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See, it is the evidence of sonship, as there is the evidence of this new birth and this life of faith. Now, so many examples again in the scriptures of those that have lived the life of faith, who have been led by the Spirit. And you can see the fruit that has been brought forth. Read Hebrews 11 and you can see it there. And we just want to mention this, of course, in this word life. We think of fruitfulness. We think of the fruits of righteousness. Because really, sin, it brings forth death, corruption. But as one is able to live by faith, there's those fruits of righteousness. And you see, better live to God's glory, his praise, his honour. And as those renewed creatures sprinkled by the blood of Jesus, unto good works, so ye shall live. Live to his glory. You know, it's only the new birth, it's only by the power of the Spirit, we can live to his glory. That Spirit who changes our darkness into light. Oh, that same Spirit who raises us up, and that same Spirit who breathes life, the life of Jesus, into our hearts, so we live to his glory. Ye shall live. Well, to live to his glory should be our concern. It is to this end that the Lord has created his people as those new creatures. They are created unto good works, which God has foreordained that we should walk in them. And, of course, yes, it is to live as those who love God and who offer up those spiritual sacrifices to him, and to those, it is to live as those who love their neighbours themselves. Yes, ye shall live. Well, this is the way then of precious faith. But there is an admonition here. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. No, because Jesus has died to put that away. We owe then the flesh nothing. No. But we owe God everything. Oh, we owe Jesus everything. And you see, as the Lord Jesus has bought his people with the price of his own precious blood, so in every way, in mind and body and soul, we owe him all. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. May God bless his word. Amen.
Lord willing, Mr. Jonathan Buss is expected to preach on next Lord's Day, and then Mr. Gerald Buss will take the anniversary services on Monday. Let us close with hymn 573. Jesus is the one thing needful, I without him perish must. Gracious Spirit, make me heedful, help me in his name to trust, and with pleasure in him as my portion boast. 573.
pray that thou pardon everything that has been amiss with us this evening in thy house. We pray thy own word may be blessed. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us each. Amen.